North Hendon Kolel, Tehillim Shir given by Gershon Hepner on Sunday, the 2nd of April 2006, Dalet Nissan Toshin Samachvov, the Shir Shbile Ilu Nishmas Habacha, Naftali Ben Sion Ben Ribmeir, Debbie first cousin Naftali Lanskron, who is Nifta, who was killed in a suicide attack on this day, Dalet Nissan, 5 years ago, Toshin Samach Aleph. The Shir is on Tehillim, chapter Ches. We'll start off by going through the perek by itself. It's only 10 psukim. We'll zoom through the whole perek translation, and then we'll go back into it in as much detail as we can. L'mnasech alagitis mizmer leDavid, a song for the conductor. That's the musical term. L'mnasech alagitis. We'll see what that word means. Mizmer leDavid, a song for David. Hashem Adoninu, God our Master. Mo'adei Shimcha. Here. You want to read them fresh? Do you want to use this one? Hashem Master, Mo'ad Yishimcha b'chol ha'aretz, how glorified is your name b'chol ha'aretz in all the land. Asher t'nahudcha an ha'shamoyim, that you place your glory on the heavens. Mepi olulim v'yonkim, from the mouths of babies and sucklings, young children, babies. Yisadat ha'oz, you have established strength. L'ma'an tzarirecha, on account of your enemies, lahashbis, or oppressors, lahashbis oyev misnakim, to silence the enemy and the avenger, something like that, someone who goes against you. Ki eresh amecha, now David now extols the wonders of nature and compares the wonders of nature with the smallness and insignificance of mankind. Ki eresh amecha, when I see your heavens, ma'aseh be'esecha, the work of your fingers, your reach, the moon, or the chavim, and the stars, asher kanot, have been established. Then I wonder to myself, mo enosh ki sizkerenu, what is man ki sizkerenu, that you remember him? Or ven odom, and what is mankind? Ki sifkedenu, that you, another expression of remembering, that you take any notice of him. Vatachasrehu ma'at me'elekim, and you've made him, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have made man just a little bit less than angels. That word elekim is reference to angels. V'chavod v'hadar ta'atrehu, and you crown him with glory and hadar, splendor. Tamshilehu b'maseh yodecha, you've made him, that's you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, man, rule over the works of your hands. Kol, everything, shata sachas raglov, you have placed under his feet. Even though man is so insignificant, you've nevertheless made him a master of the world. Tzone va'alofim kulom, over sheep, you've made man master over sheep, va'alofim, and over cattle, kulom, all of them. Man is the master over all of these things. The gamba hamos sodoi, and also over the animals of the field. Tzipra shamayim, over the birds of the heaven, udege hayom, and the fish of the sea. Over archos yamim, who cross over the pathways of the seas. And we'll see what that means. Hashem Adoninu, God our master, mo'ad yishimcha b'chol ha'aretz, how glorified is your name b'chol ha'aretz, in all the land, in all the earth. Okay, so the general theme throughout the whole chapter is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is master of the world. He's made man special over nature, even though man is incredibly insignificant against the backdrop of the entire cosmos. Mankind is nothing. It's a very uplifting tefillah, or uplifting tehillah, I should say, because it gives a certain amount of simcha. It's David celebrating the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives man so much, even though man is really nothing. All right, let's take a look. L'manasech ha'gittis mizmer leDavid. The song for the conductor, an ha'gittis, over the gittis, whatever that means, mizmer leDavid, a song to David. Rashi says it's yet another type of instrument. We already had the shminis, the eight-stringed harp, and now we have the gittis. Now, exactly what type of instrument is it is left very vague amongst nearly all the mafarshim. They all just say it's an instrument. The Targum does define it. The Targum calls it kinnora, a harp, lyre. Yeah? Is that truth? Al kinnora, the I and M, but there's another connection to gittis. The many mafreshim bring is that there's a place called Gas, which is Gaza, I think. Oh no, it's not Gaza. Gas might be Gaza. I'm not sure if that's Gaza. Azo is Gaza, isn't it? Gas is west, southwest. Is in Beersheba. Okay, it's where Goliath came from. Goliath me Goss. He came from this place called Goss or Gas. So it's a place called Gas. What's the connection with the place called Gas? So Rashi says that the instrument was actually manufactured there in Gas. So it's called the Gittis. Other Mepharshim say, the Ibn Ezra says, that there's a connection here to a man whose name is Oved Edom. Now this name Oved Edom is a strange name. He actually was Jewish, and he came from the tribe of Levi. And his significance is brought in Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Beis, because David HaMelech deposited... Oh, you've got Shmuel Beis, yeah. You'll find it, it's Shmuel Beis, chapter 1, verse 2. That Shmuel HaMelech, David HaMelech left the Oren temporarily with this man called Oved Edom, and he had it for 3 months. In some kind of field, I can't remember. He had it for 3 months, and after 3 months, then David brought it into his own palace or his bayis in Yerushalayim. Shmuel Beis, I've got it here, chapter 5, pasuk yud. And he gave it to so David gave him the Oren. And this Lamnasech HaLagittis was that this Mizmer was given by David to this man Oved Edom, who came from the tribe of Levi, so presumably like many of them given over to the Levim to sing in the Beis HaMikdash. The slight irony here is that, and I've got, it's a bit of a kasha that I haven't seen asked and I certainly haven't seen answered, is that he actually was not Oved Edom was not in the Levitical choir. He wasn't on the Levine in the choir, but rather he was a Meshulayer. He was one of the gatekeepers. Well,
maybe he was half the age.
To sing, yeah, could be.
The age to sing.
Maybe previously he'd sung. But it's interesting that Ibn Ezra learns that this Mizmah was given over to Oved Edom for use in the Beis HaMikdash, or as they still had at that time, the Mishkan, David's lifetime, the Beis HaMikdash hadn't yet been built. The Radak learns how the Pshatim. The Radak says that this Gittis is a type of song. He also says that that David composed this Mizmah while he was in Gas. David spent a while in the town of Gas, and he composed it, hence the name Al-Hagittis. That's another shot. The Meiri gives yet another shot that this was a musical instrument was manufactured in Gas. Did I say that one already? I can't remember. Yeah. So either it was given to Oved Edom, who was the Oved Edom Hagiti, because he came from Gas, or it was composed while David was in Gas, or it was a musical instrument that was manufactured in Gas, etc. These are verse Mepharshim. The Rashi brings another pshat, a very strange pshat, and Rashi himself says it's a slightly strange pshat, and that is that this Tehillah, this chapter, is devoted to the downfall of Edom. Esav. Why? Because the pasuk in Yeshaya, and it's chapter Samach Gimel, Pesukim Beis and Gimel, which says there, Madua Odom Lilavushecha, Lilavushecha. Why are your clothes red? It's the Novi addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wearing red clothes. Uvagodecha, and your clothing is Kedorech, and here's the key word, Kedorech Bergas, like someone who treads on a wine press. Now the word Gas is a wine press. What's the significance of the wine press? As though your clothes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are splattered with red. What's this red? It's the blood of the dead people from Esav and from Edom, whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu has wiped out. So it's a moshav as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wearing red clothes, blood-stained clothes, having killed out Edom. So there's that key word, Kedosh Begas. And says Rashi that this chapter here is written in celebration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wiping out Edom. But then Rashi says, and what was this in seconds? Then Rashi says that this is a strange pshat because the rest of the chapter doesn't seem to follow suit. The rest of the chapter has got nothing to do with the downfall of Edom. So how come this medrash? Rashi quotes it from some medrash that it's Allah Masech Alagitis is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's kedorech begas, like the person who treads on a wine press. So, and then Rashi leaves that as a bit of a shver kasha. He leaves it difficult. The Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch adds on to this pshat of Rashi, that this word gas, the wine press, comes from the root gimel sof sof, wishes to crush or to press down on the grapes, and he relates it to another similar root, kaf, sof, sof. Kosisahin. Oh yeah, crushing. That's it, kosisahin. So gusis and kosis are very similar words. Remember that Rav Shushan Felash always relates roots if they're phonetically similar, even if they've only got two letters in common. So he said, and then Rav Shushan Felash comes up with a beautiful thought. He says, when we press grapes on a wine press, you're not so much as destroying the grape. All you're really doing is extracting the value from the grape in order to extract the grape juice to manufacture wine. So too, he says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu crushes these Rishoyim, as that chapter in Yeshaya Samach Gimel is all about, he's not so much destroying the Rishoyim, more than that, he's purifying the Rishoyim to bring out whatever's good in them to bring out for the betterment of the world, that the people in the world will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu that much better. And he refers to Maim Chazal, which I could not find, where he describes this idea of bringing out the good in people by punishing Rishoyim as Yayin Hamashumo Barnovim. It's the wine that is stored within the grape. That's exactly what we've got here. Gittis, it's the wine press, not so much as to destroy, but to improve the world, though there should be a high degree of recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world generally. So that's how Shem Shem Fal Hersh learns it. Maybe with that we can describe how this chapter does indeed refer to the downfall of Amalek and downfall of Esau rather, with through the betterment of the world and a greater degree of recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by mankind. Thank you for waiting long.
I was just wondering, maybe this Gisis is not a particular instrument, but maybe it's a group of instruments like the woodwind or this
could be the thing. I'd love to know. The musician in me would love to know. But the closest I've got is this tiger, which describes as kinoa, a lyre, stringed instrument, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Yeah. Good. Now the Malbim gives a whole long essay into this chapter on this pasuk, and he describes how the pasuk is where David is addressing the philosophers of the world, the philosophers of the world who decrease the significance of man to such an extent. They say mankind is nothing, a human being is nothing against the grand universe. Human beings are nothing. Therefore, what purpose is there to life? And which is a very depressing thought. And the Marble said there are many philosophers who speak about this sort of thing, you know, the infinite world that we live in, the cosmos, and therefore mankind is nothing. And that's so depressing, and that leads to a form of yish, of despair, and therefore man will not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. Along comes David and says, no, it's true, man is nothing against the backdrop of the universe. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes man for his value, and therefore we do have a purpose to our life, and it's for us to fulfill that purpose by serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. That's the Malbim very much in a nutshell. And there's huge amounts of Malbim on this chapter which just didn't understand a word of. Okay.
Foreman.
Yeah, he brings that actually. He says, oh, thank you for reminding me. He brings that. The Malbim speaks about gravity. He says a person could say, well, there's a gravitational pull, and therefore man is pulled. A person is schlepped. A person's got no real kochus of his own, and he's schlepped in every direction. And how the gravitational pull of the Earth and the gravitational pull of all other planets that schlep a person around and schlep objects around. So he says, no, on the contrary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts to the world depending on how the world behaves towards him. If people are Rishoyim, so we're punished. The world suffers famines and all sorts of horrible things. And all that is a reaction to man. In other words, that man is proactive and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reactive to the way a person behaves towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's very much part of the Malbim in a nutshell, and most of it was just too hard for me. Okay. Yeah, the world is created, Bishvilo, the world is created for man. Okay, right, Pasuk Beis. Hashem Adonai Mu'ad Shimcha B'chol HaOretz. Of course, we say this at the end of Kedusha on a Yom Tov. It must have happened. And Inu, God our Master, Mu'ad Eshimcha b'chol ha'aretz, how splendorous or how wonderful is your name throughout the land or throughout the world. Asher t'na'ahudcha on Hashemayim, that you place your glory on Hashemayim, on the heavens. So Rashi learns, actually let's take the Rashi together with the next Pasuk. Nipi Olam v'yonkim, from the mouths of babes and sucklings, Yisadat ha'oz, you've established strength, Laman t'arecha, because of your oppressors, Lashbis Oyev, to silence the enemy, Umisnakim, and those who seek to go against you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi learns, what's this idea of Mu'ad Eshimcha b'chol ha'aretz? Rashi explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is too grand for this little world. Mu'ad Eshimcha b'chol ha'aretz, your glory is just too much for the world. Rather, Asher t'na'ahudcha l'Hashemayim, rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah belongs on high, up in the heavens. Your glory belongs in the heavens, which is far greater than the earth. And yet, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have still allowed your Shekhinah to have some kind of a presence here on planet Earth. Even though you're far away above Earth, nevertheless, and really you belong in Shemayim, nevertheless you're prepared to allow some of your glory onto the Earth. And how do you do that? Mepi olim v'yonkin, through the mouths of babes and sucklings. So Rashi says, what's olim v'yonkin? It's young babies who are filthy. Right? Young babies got no control over his own cleanliness and makes a mess from both ends. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to recognize him through these olim v'yonkin. Says Rashi, who are these olim v'yonkin? The Levium and the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, who are mere human beings, dirty human beings, who are lowly in stature, lowly in madriga, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows his glory to come about through the Levim and Kohanim, the Levim singing, the Kohanim, the Kohanim bringing their kabbalas, and we human beings are just only in the Yonkim, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows his glory to come down onto the earth, even though he really belongs in Shemayim. So Asher, Mu'ad Eshimcha b'chol ha'aretz, your glory really belongs to, your glory is too much for the planet Earth. Asher t'na'ahudcha l'Hashemayim, your glory really belongs in heaven, and yet, you still allowed your glory down on Earth for the Kohanim Levim to serve you from the Beit HaMikdash. Yeah? So Rashi left out. Oh.
After the
Korban,
Rashi says, Rashi says, there was no more Nevuah.
Yes.
Except the children and...
Ah, yes, the children. Yeah, interesting. Don't they have a young children, yeah? Some form.
A little bit, but it's not doing
interesting. Interesting. All right. There's an interesting piece of Targum that caught my eye on this pasuk. The translates Hashem t'na'ahudcha al Hashemayim. Now, al really means on. But the Targum, and I'm not sure if this is significant, the Targum translates it as dihavta zivach, Hashem t'na'ahudcha, you've given your glory. Now, Al Hashamayim, he translates as El, which is the translation of Al, Min Shemaya, which really means way above heaven. Now, Al Hashamayim really means upon the heavens, but the Targum seems to take it even higher than the heavens, El Min Shemaya. It struck me, I didn't see anybody who comments on it, maybe it's significant, maybe it isn't. The Targum seems to translate it as Al Hashamayim is well above the heavens, not just on the heavens, but even yet higher than that. Okay. This word tanor, asher tanor hodcha, is a very difficult word to translate. Tanor, the word tanor actually has a totally different meaning, and it means please give. It comes from the imperative form tain, give, tain, and sometimes you add an extra kamatz and hay to an imperative to form what is called by the grammarians a polite imperative, like kachano elai, kachal, please take. Or shimra, which can mean please guard, not shemer, guard, which is imperative, but shimra, please guard, an extra comma and hey. So tanor can mean a polite imperative, please give. It does not mean that here. Here the Ibn Ezra and the Siddur both explain this word tanor is what is usually referred to commands as an infinitive construct. It's a form of infinitive, to give. The Siddur Tzion says it's in the future tense, but it really has a past meaning. You have placed your glory and Hashemayim on the heavens. Ibn Ezra says, quotes the pasuk, always lovely, Ibn Ezra quoting another pasuk to illustrate this word. Poskim Tashis Vayigash, chapter Mimvov, Al Tira, don't be afraid, when Akash Pachos says to Yaakov, don't be afraid, May Rada Mitzrayim off from going down to Egypt. May Rada, don't be scared, May Rada from going down. So he says, Rada is another type of infinitive construct, May Rada from going down, and it's like this word Tamar, that you give your glory on the heavens. Yeah, the Radak explains that the word that on the land, Mechal Ha'aretz, on the land, we simply have Adir, more Adir Shemcha, how glorified is your name, Mechal Ha'aretz, on the earth, whereas Hodcha is far greater, and Hodcha goes with Hashamayim, because Shamayim is far more glorious than the earth is this one little planet Earth, whereas Shamayim encompasses every other planet and every other star and the sun and the moon and everything else. So the Radak says that the Madrega of Hod, which goes with Shamayim, is a higher Madrega than Adir, which goes with Oretz. That's how he learns it. The Me'iri translates this word Asher as Im. Asher Tana Hodcha Ashamayim, which means... that even though you have placed your glory on the heavens, so he translates it as in, if, and it's a form of even if you place your glory on the heavens, nevertheless that glory is still here on earth as well, that people can still recognize your glory. And interesting, he quotes a pasuk that we had yesterday, Sedra Vayikra, Asher Nosi Yecheta, which means if the Nosi should sin, talking about the Kom Chatos brought by a Nosi. So there the word Asher is translated as if, im, says the Ne'iri, here we have it as well, Asher Tana Hodcha, even if you place your glory on the heavens, nevertheless there's no diminution of your glory here on earth as well. That's how the Ne'iri explains the Pasuk.
Desires a dwelling place on this earth, the darkest and the lowest of all. It's like the beginning is wedged in the end. The revelation of Hashem will be greater on earth than the highest of the heavens.
The planets, yeah.
Because from darkness, you appreciate light. It's like the hole in the shutter with the lights going through, or the thin curtains, which are the tzimtzum and all the other things. But it's the purpose of Hashem is to have a dwelling place on this earth.
There should be glory of Hashem on this earth.
His revelation on this earth would be higher than the highest in the higher heavens.
So you're talking about the final Geula.
Yeah, on this earth.
Yeah. Good. Right, Pasuk Gimel. Nepi Omen and Vyonkin, from the mouths of babes and sucklings, his sons are oaths, you've established strength. Laman Sererecha, on account of your enemies, or your oppressors. These are the people who go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lahashbis Oyev and Misnakin, to silence the enemy and the avenger. To silence those people who go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi says, what are these enemies doing? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to do? Or rather, what are these enemies doing such that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to hit back at them? So Rashi explains, these Torahim, Laman Sererecha, these enemies, what are they doing? They are the people who declare that Klal Yisrael are no better than any other nation. So that's what he calls the Torahim. These are the people who Klal Yisrael are no better, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept praise and will establish the Torah or oaths or strength even via young children. Now the difference between Olim and Yom Kim, I didn't quite get to the bottom of this. It seems to be a bit of a conflict. There's a Gemara which implies that Olim are a babies that are still in utero. What's the word? Unborn. Unborn children.
In vitro.
Yeah, in utero. What's it called? The embryo. The embryo of a child. Yeah, it's still in before the child is born. That's the Olel. Whereas other mefarshim say, no, the Olel is actually a young child. Whereas a Yonek is clearly a young baby. Yonek is to suckle the young baby who's fed by the mother. The Radak explains that what's this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will establish strength from these Olim and Vyonkim? He says that when a child is born and the child sucks from the mother, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has organized the whole process of childbirth and then rearing of the child, and the whole natural process of the mother feeding the baby is so set into the nature of the world that one can only sit back in amazement at it and say, wow, so this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has organized the world in such an incredible way. There's a young child, but the milk flows from the mother at exactly the right time. And he says that the Radak explains that the hole in the mother's breast is exactly the right size for the child to get enough sustenance, but not too much. He says if the child would suffer, wouldn't get enough sustenance, the child would suffer. If the milk would flow too fast from the mother, it would choke the child. So he says this, and all this is inbuilt into the whole world of nature. He says the only thing to do is to sit back in wonder at such an amazing thing, and to recognize how HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that form of nature, and to say how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created the world in such an incredible way. How can you possibly deny how HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the face of such wonders and missing of childbirth and the whole natural process of feeding the child? And it's an absolute pele how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has organized all of this. And all this is to fix into a person's knowledge and brain from the word go, from the moment of childbirth, that we should establish there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. From the beginning of a person's life, he has an opportunity to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, a baby has got the seichel to recognize it. Now, the interesting thing is that the same is true of the animal kingdom. And the Radak brings this as a kasha, same as true of the animal kingdom, that the animals, the birth of the animal and the rearing of the young from the mother by the mother animal, it's the same thing, same process. He says, but there's a difference. The animals don't have the koach or the da'as to recognize how HaKadosh Baruch Hu through it. The animal is just an animal, hasn't got the seichel to know it. We humans have the seichel to recognize it, and therefore it's incumbent upon us to do so. To recognize the whole process of childbirth, child rearing, and baby care, and all that, to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu through it. We human beings have the capacity to do so. Animals have the same opportunity, but they don't have the capacity. They're not given that capacity. We are given that capacity. The Shimshon of Val Hirsch brings on this a phenomenal thing. He says, supposing, and it's a hypothetical disaster, supposing that the world would be void of all form of Torah. If the Torah would be wiped out, no one would learn, no Talmud Chachamim, no Bnei Torah, nothing would happen, no recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the world would reach such a stage, says Rav Shushan Farel Hirsch, Mepi Olin V'Yonkin Yisad Ta'oz, it's all rescuable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu establishes his strength via young babies. How? With every birth, a person could be reawakened to the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the world would be void of Torah, like it was before the days of Avraham Avinu, one could reawaken a knowledge of Torah by simply being aware of the process of childbirth and childcare. You say, well, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could, only a God could organize that, could organize the world and fashion the world in such a way. And we could to the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from that and that alone, if the world had no other form of Torah in it. Another verse from Shushan Fal Hirsch, he looks at this word Oyev. Yeah, very interesting. Yes, Oyev. Where's it gone? So, Lahashbis Oyev. So, Shushan von Hirsch says that the root of Oyev is Aleph Yud Veis, and he links that to the root Ayin Kuf Veis. They've both got the Veis sound, and the Aleph parallel to an Ayin, because neither of them has a real sound, and neither of them is a vocalized letter. And Ayin Kuf Veis, the Okev, is the heel. He says it's to do things in an underhand manner. Like Esau said about Yaakov, Vayakveni Zef Amoyim. He's dealt with me in a harmful, underhand manner. He says that's the enemy who deals with you in an underhand manner. Aleph Yud Veis, related to Ayin Kuf Veis. He also says it's related to Ayin Kaf Veis, Ikuv, to prevent something, to get in the way, to impede progress. Yeah. The Maimah Chazal, which is brought to a few places, but I saw it in the Medrash Sheikh HaTov, Nepi Omen and Vyonkin Yisadata Oz. Oz is a reference to Torah. The word Oz means strength, but it refers to Torah. Hashem Oz Lama Yitin, Hashem gave us the Torah. Oz. So the Oz is the Torah. At the time of Matan Torah, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, I would like you please to appoint a guarantor that Klal Yisrael will keep the Torah. And Klal Yisrael said, okay, well, we've got the others, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, they'll be our guarantee that we'll always keep the Torah. I'm not quite sure what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected that offer and rejected a couple of other offers which I actually didn't understand, but the final offer which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did accept was the young children, and he said, well, you'll accept, you'll keep the Torah, and the young children will be the guarantee to me that you'll keep the Torah. I didn't really understand it, meaning that if Klal Yisrael Chas V'Shalom fail in their performance towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take it out on the young children first, because they are the guarantee. And that's me, Pi only the Yonkim, Nisad HaTa'oz. It's all down to the young children and the babies that we accept the Torah. There's another astonishing piece of Gemara, is in Sota, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, based on this pasuk, talking about the Shira. When Klal Yisrael sang the Shira, oh, it's really Pesach, when Klal Yisrael sang the Shira, says the Gemara, Sota, at the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis, Tanna Bonam, Dora Shabbos Yaglili, Besha'a Sha'a Yisrael Min Ayyom, when Klal Yisrael came out of the Yamsuf, Nosli Aleim Nema Shira, they wanted to sing the Shira, the Chet Adam Shira, how did they sing the Shira? What actually happened? Olel Mutal al Birke Imo, the young child sitting on its mother's lap, the Sinuk Yonik Mishadei Imo, or the young child sucking from the mother's breast, Kibin Sheroes HaShchina, when they saw the Shchina, Olel Higbiat Savo, the young child lifted up his neck, or lifted up his head, the Sinuk Shomat Dad Mepiv, and the young child stopped sucking from the mother, the Omer, and they said, Zekin Dan Vehu. The young babies recognize this. Shenema, bringing up pasuk me. Pi omen in the yonkim yisad ha'toros. You establish strength from the young children. So the young children who said zekeli b'amei, and some of the freshmen in this gemara imply that it was the young children who saw it all first. Somehow they had a better recognition, like Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they were the first ones to sing the shira, and everyone else followed suit.
Maybe that's why in the Beis Hamikdash, the sticks of the Aaron Abris pointed out just a little bit and moved the parochas.
So the Shadayim, the representation of the woman's breasts. Yeah, it's pasuk in Shashirim, which refers to the budding, the poles like that. The Malbim, as always, finds differences between similar but different words. Tzorecha, your enemies, and Oyev is also an enemy. What's the difference between them? And I don't know what his proof is, but he says that a Tzorer is someone, it is an enemy who actually carries out Bamase. He acts against you. Whereas the Oyev is a person who only harbors bad feeling towards you in his lave. That's how he defines the difference between Tzorer and Oyev. Pasuk Dalet. Ki eresh amecha lemesi, your heavens, ma'asei esben secha, the work of your fingers, yareach, the moon, v'chochodim, and the stars, asher kanon, that you have established. Here David begins to look at the world of nature, which goes through the rest of the chapter, and stands in wonder and amazement at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Haman is his benefit. Yeah, he's in the kind of everything. Yeah. Ishtavei, Haman, that's it. So Rashi gives the basic pshat in this pasuk, but it's really connected with the next pasuk, with pasuk hey, can I see your heavens, and I see how wonderful the world is, and the moon, and the stars, then I think to myself, pasuk hey, what emesh kisis kerenu, what is man that you remember here? Man is nothing in comparison. That's really the flow of these few pasukim here. The Ibn Ezra says, why is it that the sky, the Shamayim, Shamecha, Kiyere Shamecha, when I see your sky, why is it compared to Masei Etzba Osecha, the work of your fingers? Says the Ibn Ezra, he says that there are 10 heavens, and he defines them, and I didn't understand the definition at all. He says the first 7 are where the stars are, and 5 Kuchvei Leches, 5 stars that travel. I don't know what on earth that means. Maybe it's referring to our own solar system, 5 of the planets. I don't know how many of the planets of the solar system were known in the time of the Ibn Ezra. Maybe he's referring to those, I'm not sure. He says that those are the first 7 heavens. The 8th one, he says, contains Tzva Gadol, a great number of stars. I don't know what that is, asteroid belt, no idea. But that's going to be the 8th sky. The 9th one contains, he calls it Galgal HaMazolos, Sheholech Memizach Lamarov. HaMazolos, which are the constellations which go from east to west, don't understand that either. Like I said, the 10th one contains the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of Hashem's glory. He says that's the connection with Masei Esbe Secha, 10 fingers, and that's why the skies are described with the as being a reference to the fingers. Now the big kasha on this pasuk is if David HaMelech is describing the wonders of the heavens and the moon and the stars, why has he left out the sun? Yeah, it's obvious one too, he left out the sun. The Ibn Ezra brings the kasha, the Radak brings the kasha. and give similar answers. The Ibn Ezra says that during the day when the sun is visible, you don't get a good appreciation of the sky because you can't see all those other millions of stars or planets. Because the sun is so overpoweringly bright, you can't see the stars. Therefore, it's a greater shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu to praise him during the night when you can see the moon and all those stars, rather than during the day when you can only see one star, namely the sun. Yeah? So it's a greater shevach to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the stars. The Radak gives another pshat. The Radak says that Dov composed this Zemeh, not the Zemeh, this Tehillah, at night. He happened to write it at night, and at night time you can see he was affected by the moon and the stars.
We say that Tanakh is written through Nevuah.
Yeah.
And Nevuah doesn't have night.
Ooh. You sure? Yeah, Nevuah, no Nevuah at night?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah? Very interesting. All right, no, good kasha. Oh, maybe, well, who knows? Maybe Tehillim is not so much written, who knows, can we say that Tehillim is written with Nevuah? I don't know, maybe it's a different thing called Nevuah. Ruach HaKodesh, if that's the same thing as Nevuah, I don't know.
Maybe not.
These are David's prayers, so to speak.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's a nice kasha. Don't know. Yep. The Alkut Miyam Lois answers this kasha. Why didn't David mention the sun? Very simply. He says, because you can't look at the sun. It's impossible to look at the sun. So you can't write about the sun because you can't look at it properly. The moon and the stars, yeah, you can get a good view of those. Yeah? The Radak points out that that here David is addressing the people who go against a concept of creation of the world. Those Rishoim who say HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create the world, so David here is speaking about the world, and he points out Maaseh Esbesecha, the work of your fingers, Yerech Vechachovim Asher Kolomta, you've set them in place. And Zavka, to go against the views of those Rishoim who say that the world was not created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the world has always existed, and however else they want to explain it, that's how the Radak says it. No, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu set the world in place. Now, there's a beautiful piece of Rabbeinu Bachai. I would never have known about this Rabbeinu Bachai, the shkach to the Chachamim in Art Scroll, who bring this Rabbeinu Bachai. It's in Shemos chapter Ches, Posuk Tesvov, who brings in the name of Rav Sadia Gaon. Our Posuk says, Maaseh Etzba Osecha, the work of your fingers, says the Rabbeinu Bachai, B'shem Rav Sadia Gaon, there are three things described as having been made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fingers. What are they? Well, there's all the planets, as in the stars and the moon, as in our Pasuk and the Shemaim, the Galilean, as he calls them, the celestial bodies. There's the Luchos, which is described in Kisisa at the end of Shatzer Lamdalef, Luchos Evem Kesuvim Be'etzba Elokim, written with the finger of Hashem.
And
Esvel Kim, he with the Kinim, with the, what's it called, the lice, the Kinim. Oh, three things are described with this word Etzba. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, Hashem of Sanji Gon, that these are all extremes. We have the Galgalim, the celestial bodies, which are just massive, beyond really our human form of measurement, too big for us to appreciate. Something huge HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with his Etzba. The Luchos are, of course, much, much smaller than the planets, but in their own way far more glorious than the planets. So it might be lower than the planets in quantity, but they are higher than the planets in quality, with all the description of the Luchos that we have in the Midrashim, the fantastic descriptions of the Luchos. The Kinim, the lice, are neither. They're tiny in size, and they're very lowly sort of beings. So he says, it doesn't matter what HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, he can make it all with equal ease, Etzba. You can make something huge, you can make something beautiful, huge like the planets, beautiful like the Luchos, or something maybe ugly and lowly and tiny like the Kinim. It's all the same to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all made with the same Etzba.
Is it the Kifanesh or is it the dust?
What's that?
The Kinim come from?
Kinim. The dust. Kishanesh was the boils. Barad. Not Barad. Yeah. What's it called? Shchin.
So the dust is also numerous. So each bit has to be created.
Each dust, yeah. Oh. Yeah. In fact, something like that is brought in the Art Scroll, but I didn't fully understand it. Yeah, the Art Scroll, I'll mention the Kasha, even though I didn't really understand the answer. The Kasha is Gevaldige Kasha. In our Pasuk, Maaseh Etzba Osecha, that was Maaseh, but with a hey at the end, and is singular. You have a similar idea brought in Pasuk Zayin, Tamshilehu, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make man rule, but ma'asei yodecha, of the works of your hands. Ma'asei, with a yud at the end, which is a plural. Bit of a kasha there. Ma'asei es besecha is in the singular, ma'asei yodecha is in the plural. And he brings an answer which I don't really understand. Okay, the kasha is worth knowing, you need to know the answer. Right, Pasuk Hey. More emosh ki says Kareni, what is man that you make mention of, that you remember him, Uven Odom, and mankind, or son of man, Kisiv Kadenu, that you, again an expression of memory, that you remember him. What is man? And it's this, who is man, this tiny being against the backdrop of the universe? Yeah, the Radak points out, we have the word more at the beginning of Pasuk Hey, and we also have the word more near the beginning of Pasuk Beis. So Pasuk Beis we have Hashem Adonenu more Adi Shimcha B'chala Oretz, how glorified is your name, or how splendid is your name. And here in Pasuk Hey we have more Enosh, what is man ki siz kerenu. So the Radak says these two Pasukim are parallels, to contrast one against the other. Oh, so the truth is that he says that the word more is to be translated in two different ways. In Pasuk Beis, we have Mo Adi Shimcha, how great or how splendid is your name, to increase the wonder of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Here we have Mo Enosh, Kisiz Kerenu, what is man that you make mention of him, make mention of man or remember man, to decrease, that's it, to decrease the importance of man. So there you have the difference between them. But they are there to contrast, juxtapose, to contrast one against the other. Yeah, the Radak also says, "More emosh ki siz kerenu." Of course, we've got a parallel phrase here. "More emosh ki siz kerenu." What is man that you remember him? Or then, "Adam ki siz kerenu." What is man that you remember him? So it's the same idea in two different ways. So the Radak says, "What's the difference between them?" That you remember you the first one, "More emosh ki siz kerenu." That you have that when you created man, you instilled within man some of your own glory. Then Odom Kisif Kedemu is not a reference to when man is created, but throughout the lifetime of man, how you constantly look after man, how you constantly care for him, and provide him with all his needs. That's how the Radak lands. The Malbim makes it a contrast these two words, Enosh and Uven Odom. Enosh, says the Malbim, is man is a very lowly word for mankind. You've got different words for man. You've got Gever, you've got Odom, you've got Ish and Enosh. And Enosh is pretty much the lowest term used about man. Why is it so low? He says because it refers to a human being just being physically weak. And the expression Ben Odom is to it, because mankind, man is mortal and is not around for that long. So these are two different ways of this. Enosh, a human being, is weak while he's alive, and Ben Adam, because he's mortal and he doesn't survive forever. The Malbim says. Yeah, the Malbim goes on to say that again, kisiz kerenu. Again, we've got two different expressions here for memory. Mine is kisiz kerenu, you remember him, and kisif kerenu, again, an expression of memory that you remember man. So the Malbim, kisiz kerenu, is just remembering someone, even if you don't actually do anything for them. That's kisiz kerenu. Oh yes, I remember so-and-so. Even if you don't actually do anything for them, where sif kerenu is a greater degree, is a greater form of memory, that not just do you remember someone, but you actually go out of your way and do something for him. So that's how he explains it. The difference between Siskerenu and Sifkadenu. The Rav Shimshon Fal Hash relates the root of Enosh, Aleph Nun Shin, to the root Ayin Nun Shin, to punish. And that's why the word Enosh is such a lowly term for mankind, because it's a reference to punishment. And Rav Shimshon Fal Hash also has a very lovely pshat on Kisifkadenu. Moinish kisif kerenu, or another kisif kerenu. Kisif kerenu says Rosh Hashanah, the root peikuf dalas does mean to remember, like we have Hashem pokad esara kasha omor, Hashem remembered sara. So peikuf dalas does mean to remember, but says Rosh Hashanah, it also means to appoint. And he quotes Pesukim, for example, about Potiphar, Vayachkidehu albeso. He appointed Yosef over his house. So peikuf dalas also means to appoint. Says Rosh Hashanah. More Enosh, what is man kisif kerenu that you remember him? Or then Adam, and what is mankind kisif kerenu that you have appointed him to have such a, to become your shliach in this world, to carry out your mitzvahs and to carry out your wishes? So kisif kerenu is an expression of an appointment that you appoint a man to carry out your will. Now, in the introduction to this chapter in the Art Scroll, he quotes from the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodiyot, Perek Beis Halacha Beis, where the Rambam gives us a formula for life. How can man come to a madriga of Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem? So says the Rambam, the person should constantly reflect on the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and on the world, and on the creation, and on nature, and all these sorts of things. A person should reflect on these, because that will give a person terrific Yiras Shemayim and Ahavas Hashem as well. And he quotes these psukim. He says, like David the Melech says, Ki Eresh Shemecha, Pasuk Dalet, Ki Eresh Shemecha, and I see your heavens, and I see the moon and the stars, and so on. And that will bring a person to Madriga of Yirah Shemayim, especially when he appreciates more Enesh Kisiskerin, what is mankind, that he remembers him. And all that will bring a person to Yirah Shemayim. And ultimately should bring a person to a degree of Simcha, that he's been entrusted by Kodesh Baruch Hu with carrying out his wishes. That should bring a person to a degree of simcha, aval, yura, and all good mitzvahs like that. And the article points out that the Vilna Gaon says that this chapter of Tehillim is the Shir Shel Yom for Simchas Torah. Vilna Gaon, we don't have that minhag, but there are some shuls who actually do it. The Vilna Gaon lists the Shir Shel Yom for every special day, for every Yom Tov day. And this was the one for Simchas Torah. Why? Because it's a celebration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a celebration of how he's created the world and nature, and ultimately a great Simcha. And again, the Art Scroll relates it, quoting from the Meiri, relates it to what we said earlier about Oved Edom, the Gitti, this man who looked after the Oren for 3 months, and after that, David HaMelech took the Oren and he sang and he danced with it, again, all connected to singing and dancing and general simcha that we expressed on Simchas Torah. So the Vilna Gaon points out that this is the Shir Shel Yom for Simchas Torah, because of the great simcha of the day related to David HaMelech's dancing when he was able to take the Oren. The Midrash HaKetuv on Tehillim points out that we have that this pasuk, "Mo Enosh Kisiz Kerenu or Ven Adam Kisif Kedenu," was recited by the Malachim on no less than 3 occasions to object to mankind, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll speak about this maybe a bit later as well. But the first objection was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create man, and they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Why Enosh Kisiz Kerenu? What are you so interested in mankind for?" And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "I'll show you how wonderful man is. I'll show you tomorrow how wonderful man is." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, and he brought all the animals to the Malachim to name them, and the Malachim were stumped. They couldn't think of suitable names for the animals, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Right, now watch." And he brought the animals to Adam HaRishon, and Adam HaRishon gave names to every single animal in the world, and how each name was suited to that animal. And so that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu refuted the Malachim and said, "Now you see, there is the chashivas of man." The second time when they used this, it's brought in the Gemara as well in Shabbos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to present the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and they said, "No, Enosh Kisiz Kerenu, what do you want to present the Torah to mankind for?" And of course, this is brought in the Gemara in Shabbos, Peches Amud Beis and Peites Amud Aleph, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, "Give them an answer." And Moshe said, "I'm scared because they could burn me with a fire from their mouth. They could burn me, and I'm scared to give an answer." HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Hold on to the Kisei HaKavod, and then give them an answer." And he did. And Moshe challenged the Malachim and said, "Well, the Torah is full of mitzvahs that don't suit you. And the mitzvahs related to Yitzhak Mitzrayim, you will never have Vodim in Mitzrayim, you have no parents, Kibbutz, and the Torah is just not suitable to you." And then with that, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu got the better of the Malachim, and the Torah was presented to Klal Yisrael, to Moshe, and then to Klal Yisrael. And the Medrash HaKetuv relates this, gives a moshel of a man who entrusts his son as an apprentice to someone to teach him the Parnassah, and he comes back. After a while, "Noon, how's it gone? Have you trained my son?" And he sees that his son has made no progress whatsoever. Why not? And so the employer, who should be training this son, says, "Well, it's an impossible job. The job that they're doing here requires great manual dexterity and requires all 10 fingers. Your son is missing a finger. Your son had an accident all those years ago and he's missing a finger." it's just not suited to this work. So that's how the Medrash HaChatzim makes it as well. The Torah is just not suited to the Malachim, it's not for the Malachim, it's just not for them. And the third time when the Malachim challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is he favoring mankind, was over the building of the Mishkan. Why on earth do you want your Shekhinah to rest on earth in the Mishkan? It really belongs up in Shamayim. Why Mishkis is going to, what's the significance of man? And that brings us to the end of Pasuk. Hey, so we'll leave it there. Yeah? To be continued in Mitzvah Hashem. Yeah.
Tehillim Sheh, Perek Hey, Part 2, Sheikh of Magash and Hepner, Northampton Kollel, on Sunday, 14th of May, 2006. Tes Zion ER Tafshin Sachvov. Pasuk Vov.
Vatachasri hu ma'at me'elokin, you have made man smaller, just a little bit less, me'elokin. Literally means than God, but it actually is a reference to Malachim. You've made mankind just a little bit less than Malachim. The chavod v'hador and glory and hador is splendor to Atrehu, you crown him. You've crowned man with honor, with glory, and you've created man to be just on a slightly lower madriga than Malachim. So here again, David is saying how man is really insignificant, and yet you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give significance to man. You give significance and honor and covet to mankind, even though man is really small. You've nevertheless brought man up to be on a madriga, only a little bit less, v'atachasrehu, just a little bit less, ma'at, only a little bit me'elokim than malachim. So Rashi points out this word elokim means malachim. You've made man just a little bit less than Malachim. And Rashi gives examples of human beings who have been given superhuman kochus on a par with Malachim. And Rashi chooses the examples of Yehoshua, who was given the kochus to stop the sun in the sky, rather like a Malach would have such koch. Yehoshua, who was able to dry up the Yaradin to the Klal Yisrael when he brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. He stopped the Yaradin from flowing, and so the Klal Yisrael could cross over. Moshe was, of course, Kriyas Yamsuf, probably the biggest nation that we've ever known of. Kriyas Yamsuf, again, a kochus just a little bit less than Malachim. Moshe, again, who went up on Har Sinai, nice and topical, went up on Har Sinai and was there for 40 days, 40 nights, didn't eat, didn't drink, and lived like a Malach. And Eliyahu HaNavi, who was able to perform Tchis HaMesim on the young baby, on the young child, where Eliyahu did Tchis HaMesim. So here are examples of human beings who have been given an exceptional kochus, pretty much on a par with Malachim. The Metzudas David learns, what's this great koach of man, that you've crowned man with hodor, you've crowned man with all this glory. What's this great glory you've given man? Says the Metzudas David, it's the koach of speech. Ruach Mamalala, like the Targum says in Bereishis, Ruach Mamalala, you've been given a koach of speech, more so than any of the animals. And the Eben Ezra says that this v'chavod v'hadar tatrehu, what's this glory that we've been given? It's the neshama. We've been given a neshama, and that again gives us we're just on a slightly lower standing than Malachim. And this idea is also brought not just by the Eben Ezra, but also by the Radak, who says, what's the essential difference between Malachim and human beings? He says the only difference really is Malachim have got neshamas, or they are spiritual beings, and we're also spiritual beings. We also have a neshama. The only thing is, our spiritual beings, our neshamas, are cloaked in a guf. And that's the thing that makes us lower than Malachim. Besides that, we are like Malachim, we have neshamas, they are spiritual beings, we are spiritual beings. Our guf, the fact we have a guf, that is the thing that brings us on a slightly lower madriga than Malachim. But actual fact, we're pretty close to the madriga of Malachim. Now, very interesting, again, I have to give a big shkar to my son, Yaakov Chaim, who knows my svarim better than I do, who spotted a sefer. I've got no idea where I got this sefer from. Maybe I found it in the Seamus box. It's a small green sefer which was brought out probably about 50 years ago by a South African Rov. And it's a collection of various manuscripts from many, many Rishonim. It's very small snippets on Rishonim. And there's one section there given by a Rishon whose name is Rabbi Yeshaya Mitzarani, that's Turin. I've mentioned him once before. He's Rabbi Yeshaya HaRishon, the first one, because his grandson was probably named after him, also Rabbi Yeshaya, also from Turin. Now, this Rishon brings a raya. Why this word Elohim is a reference to Malachim? I was wondering about it. Poshut Shat, Vatachasim Elohim. Elohim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not Malachim. Where does Rashi get it from? We need a makar that the word Elohim is a reference to Malach. And he brings a very simple makar. And it's a posuk, it's in Vayishlach, where Yaakov Avinu has his fight against the Malach, the Saro Shel Esav, the Malach of Esav. And he says there, Yaakov says, Kira'isi Elohim, as that keyword, Kira'isi Elohim Ponim El Ponim, I've seen Elohim face to face. Says the Targum Onkelos, how does the Targum translate Kira'isi Elohim? It says, Arei Chazesi, I've seen Malacha Dashem, a Malacha Vakadosh Baruch Hu, Apin Ba'apin, face to face. So there you've got a Pasuk material where the word Elohim is a reference to Malachim. So likewise here, made man, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, made man just a little bit less than Malachim. And the word Elohim can indeed refer to Malach. Now there's Gemara in the Dorim, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, where Rav and Shmuel, both of them say that they learn from the pasuk "Vatachasrehu ma'at melekim," you make man just a little bit less than Malachim. That the Malachim is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because there are 50 sha'arei bina, there are 50 gates of understanding in the world, and Moshe Rabbeinu was granted 49 of them, and that is learnt by Rav and Shmuel from this pasuk "Vatachasrehu ma'at melekim." We just fall a little bit short of the Madrig of Malachim. Even our greatest Moshe Rabbeinu, of all the 50 sha'arei bina, he was Zochet to have 49, but not quite the 50th one, because that would have made him into a Malach. Yet he was a human being. He was a human being who lived and died, and to have all 50 would have made him like a Malach. So that's a Chasim Matmelekim, we're just a little bit less than Malachim. Moshe had the 49 out of 50. The Ran says, what was this 50th? What was the 50th Sha'ar Bina that eluded Moshe? Well, I haven't got a clue what he means, but he defines it, chutz, except for me'achas, just one of them, that Moshe didn't have. And what was that? He defines it as yidiyas Hashem alamitoso, knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its ultimate truth. The ultimate truthful knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that might mean. But he describes that as being the 50th of the Sha'arei Bina. On a similar note, there's a Yalkut Shimoni which I saw quoted, and I couldn't track it down, but the reference I had was the Yalkut Shimoni in Vezos HaBracha, Tof Kuf Samach Vav. I couldn't find it though, maybe it's somewhere else, I couldn't see it. And it brings there that the name Moshe is always spelt in the Torah Mem Shin Hei. It's never spelt with a Vav. In theory, it could be spelled Mem Vav Shin Hei Moshe, but we never have a Cholim Vav. We just have the Cholim by itself without the Vav. Why? Because Moshe was missing that 50th Sha'arei Bina. If Moshe would have had sort of the ultimate Chachma of all, then his name would have been given that extra fullness, maybe at least once. Interesting. The name Aharon does appear at least once with a Vav. I can't remember where, but it is written at least once with an extra Vav. But the Moshe name is written with a Vav. I once had a game with my children and a tikkun, and I covered up the Chumash side, I pointed to the tikkun side, I pointed to the name of Moshe. What does that say? Moshe. Very good. What does that say? Moshe. Very good. What does that one say? Moshe. And I pointed to another one. What does that say? Moshe. Wrong. It's Misser. Yeah, in Parshas Bo. Imi Matabayis, Mihios Misser. Yeah, and in the Parshas Kor Pesach. Misser. Yeah, that's good fun. Yeah. Okay, so the Yalkut Shemini points out the name of Moshe because he never had that 50th gate of Bina, 50th Sha'ar Bina, therefore it's never written, never, his name is never written Mole, always written Choser, without the Vav. Really? 613 times? Really? Amazing, yeah. Alright, alright. You said, maybe. Alright, that's okay. Good. Yeah. Okay, Pasuk. Pasuk, where are we up to? That's Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Zayin. Tamshilehu. Yeah, Tamshilehu b'masei odecha. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have made man rule over the works of your hands. Again, you've given man, insignificant man, yet you've given him tremendous kochus, and you've made him rule over the works of your hands. Kol, everything, shata sachas, raglov, you have placed underneath his feet. Shata is to put or to place. Yeah. So you've made man rule over everything. Even though man is insignificant, you nevertheless have given man tremendous kavod, and you've made man rule over everything. Tamshilei b'maaseh yadecha. So the Radak points out, what's this tamshilei b'maaseh yadecha? You've made him rule over everything, and the parallel to that is you've put everything, sachas raglov, underneath his feet. Says the Radak, sachas raglov is tachtonim. Things down here on this world, on planet Earth, is tachtonim. Therefore, ma'aseh yadecha is the parallel, and must refer to elyonim, things above. And it refers to kochavim, to the stars, that man has been given an understanding. We can calculate the trajectory of planets. That's a word I love from you, Jack. Trajectory. I love that from you in the applied math. Yeah. Yeah. So man is given the kochus of calculating the trajectory of planets and the direction and the whole thing, everything to do with the luach and the sun and the moon and so on. We have a full understanding, or we can have a full understanding of the solar system. Says the attack, that's what it means by ma'aseh yadecha. So ma'aseh yadecha must be a reference to elyonim, because the parallel part of the pasuk called shatas sachas raglov is clearly a reference to tachtonim, to things on earth. Therefore, ma'aseh yadecha refers to the elyonim, that we can understand the celestial bodies. Now, there's a terrific piece of Torah which I got from the art scroll on Tehillim. It's a beautiful sefer on the art scroll Tehillim, which was donated to the shul by Mr. and Mrs. Posner, the Halda Mechaim Lechaim. So there he writes, he brings from the Gemara in Brachas Daf Samach Amid Beis, when the Gemara speaks about the brachas that we make in the mornings, Kisiyei mesamei, when a person puts on his shoe, lema, he should make the bracha, bracha asali kol tzarki, bracha tashana ken mechalam sha asali kol tzarki. When a person puts on his shoes, that's the bracha, to make that you have provided for all my needs. Now, what on earth is the connection between putting on a shoe and making the bracha, thanking Hashem for providing for all our needs? So the pshat is brought, and it's a well-known pshat. I've heard it years ago from Matisyahu Salomon, and heard it, and then so it's quoted here by the Shla in the name of the Marshal. There are four categories within the world of Teva. We have domain, inanimate objects like stones and rocks; Sameach, things that grow, plants, trees; Behema, animals, which are living beings that can walk around and so on; and Odom, man, who's on a higher madriga than all of those, because that man is more than Behema, especially with the Kirk of speech. Now, the significance of the shoe is that the shoe is an item manufactured from leather, which comes from animals. The shoe, therefore, is a representation that man is master over animals, because we can take we can kill an animal and use the skin from an animal to manufacture leather and make shoes out of it. So therefore, the shoe is the representation, is the simon that man is ruler over the entire world of nature, because the domain, the inanimate objects, are lower than those that grow, and the things that grow, vegetation, is there to serve the animal kingdom, because animals eat it, and human beings are master over the animals. So therefore, we are in charge of the entire world of nature, and that is denoted by the shoe more than anything else. Therefore, when man needs to be put in his place, when man needs to be brought down a peg or two, the shoe is removed. We go to a Makom Kodesh, we go to the Beis HaMikdash, can't wear a shoe in the Beis HaMikdash. When Moshe Rabbeinu arrives at the snare, at the burning bush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, you've got to take the shoe off. And in Chalitza, same thing, when a man has refused to marry the widow of his brother, and he's going to do Chalitza rather than Yibum, part of the insulting process of Chalitza, he has to spit towards him, and part of that is the removal of his shoe. Ke'ilu, you're not any better than a behemoth, so we take the shoe off. Yeah?
Just before Yeshua went to Yericho,
depending on Malach comes along.
Oh yeah.
It tells them to remove his shoes. But it's not both his shoes, and it's very unusual.
That's when the Malach told him off for not learning.
Yeah.
So we're not learning. And again, to bring him down a little bit. Oh, so he has to remove his shkach. Oh. So, so it's complaining to tape you. So the shoe is a representation that the man is master of nature. Therefore, when a person puts on the shoe in the morning, hence he makes the bracha sha'asani kol tzorki, you provided for all my needs. You put the whole world of nature at my disposal, and I thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for doing that. Now we have kol shata sachas raglov. Everything is placed at his feet or underneath his feet, because we walk upon the planet Earth and we control the nature, or rather we have kochus over nature, and that is all represented by the shoe. And that's kol shata sachas raglov, underneath the person's feet, which is trodden on by the shoe, which we take from the world of nature, from the animal kingdom. It's a very choshev avotcha. Yeah. Good. Pasuk Ches. Sone va'alofim kulom v'gam bahamos sodoi. Here we have a list of things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed at our disposal. Sone va'alofim kulom, the sheep flock. That word sone is a slightly poetical form of the word sown, so it's missing the aleph and it's got an extra hay, so it's a slightly poetical form. I never saw an explanation as to why it's written like that. Sone the alofim kulam, the word alofim is also a reference to herd of cattle, kulam, all of them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us all of them, the animal kingdom, for our purposes. Vagam, and also Bahamos Sodoi, the animals of the field. The word Sodoi is explained by the Mesudas Tzion that the word Sodoi, I mean, literally means my fields. Here it's just a poetic form of the word Sodeh. So it doesn't really mean my fields, that's the literal translation, but here it's just a poetic form of Sodeh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us all these things for our purposes. Flock, animals, alofim, our herd, cattle, everything, and animals of the field, all given for us for our purposes. Yeah. So this word alofim, difficult word, but alofim, sona for alofim being a reference to herd, that of course we see that from the pasuk in Devarim, chapter Kaf Ches pasuk Dalet, Baruch Pri Vitznecha Ofri Admasecha. Sorry, Baruch Pri Vitznecha Ofri Admasecha, Ofri Vehemtecha Shigar Alofecha. That's the word. Shigar Alofecha Vashres Senecha. Shigar Alofecha means young calves. Yeah, the issue of herd. So that word Alofecha is a reference to herd. Hence our word here, the Alofim. The Ibn Ezra points out that we have a very specific order sequence in this pasuk. Tzonev Alofim first, then. And then kulam, and then v'gam b'hamos sodoi. Says the Ibn Ezra, what's the sequence of animals? So he says that tzon and alofim, which are sheep and cattle, they are the animals that typically provide us with our food, because we eat the meat of sheep and goats, and, well, maybe not so much goats nowadays, but we could, and beef. So this is tzon of alofim. And also, these animals provide us with our clothing. The sheep give us the wool, and cows and bulls give us leather. So, those come first. These are these animals provide us with our basic needs of food and clothing. Therefore, they come first in the pasuk. Tzonev alofim kulam. Whereas the gam bahamos sodoi, says the Ibn Ezra, is a reference to animals that provide us with transport. And that's like camels, horses, and donkeys, and so on. So, and that's a secondary requirement for mankind, the transport. But transport is not as important to us as food and clothing, and therefore food and clothing coming from Son and Alofim, they come first in the pasuk, followed after that by Vegam Bahamos Sodoi, a secondary need. The Radak points out, again, going on the sequence of these animals in the pasuk, that soneh, sheep, are animals that live in close proximity to man. The farmer and the sheep, they live close together. And they are nearby, and they provide us with food, again, and with clothing. And the fact that they are geographically nearby, and they can also be used maybe for work. I'm not sure, you can't really use sheep for work. But he says they're ready for work. I'm not quite sure what work a sheep could do. I don't think we do use sheep at all for work. cutting the house. Yeah, yeah. Valofim is a reference to oxen, that's the herd of cattle, which again live in close proximity to man. Kulom, he says in the pasuk, refers to animals that again live close by, and that he says are horses, donkeys, and camels. Then you come to the word vegam. Now the word vegam here, the radaklas, does not mean and also, but rather and even. We often find the word gam being used for even. Bahamos sodoi are reference to animals that live out in the sodeh, out in the wilds. That's how you refer to it. And they don't live close by. So the radak learns that the sequence of pasuk goes to how close these animals live in proximity to man. The earlier animals in the pasuk live close by to man, whereas the gamba mesadoi, they live a little bit further out. I'm a bit puzzled by it, because bahamos, the behemoth, is a domesticated animal, typically sheep and goats and cows. And a chaya lives out in the wild. But he seems to learn, he defines bahamos as chayos. Yeah, I haven't got the retak in this one, but I've written it down in my notes. Chayos ha-sodeh, the wilder animals which live out in the sodeh. So in that sense, so therefore they live a little bit further afield than the animals mentioned earlier.
The hamon, the large numbers of them.
Oh, hamon.
Maybe the other large numbers of animals.
I haven't seen that anywhere. You'd need a nun probably in the way of hamon. Yes, you'd need a nun. Yeah.
I
haven't seen that
anywhere. Because they put in the word soda, which is really unnecessary. Which is the gamba hamos. We know what the hamos are.
Ah,
see. So the word soda might.
Defines the word behemoth not as an enormous sense of behemoth, but as a chayav.
Ah, behemoth, yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, you wouldn't need it. Pasuk Tes. Sipar Shamayim, the birds of the heavens, that's all these things have been given over to mankind for our purposes. Sipar Shamayim, the bird of the heavens, Odege Hayom, and the fish of the sea. Here's a tricky phrase. Over Urchos Yamim, crossing through the pathways of the seas. Now, what's this idea of Tipra Shamayim, the birds of the heavens? So the Masudas David points out that, yeah, we have been given the koach over the birds, because you might think, well, birds, they fly out, we have no control over them. Says the Masudas David, no, we do have control. We can trap them when they come to land for food and for water. We can trap them then, and of course we can shoot them down from the sky. Obviously, you're going to shoot them down. You'd be hard pushed into a proper shechita like that. Only Esav could really do that sort of thing. But you could at least use the. You might want to use a bird for something else. I don't know what else. But we have kochos of trapping them. We've been given skills, chochma, to catch these animals, even though they can fly away from us. Nevertheless, we've been given the chochma of catching them and trapping them. And likewise with the fish as well, we have been granted the chokhmah of being over Urchos Yamim. We are human beings who have been given the kochos of and the chokhmah of building ships and being able to be over Urchos Yamim, to travel through the pathways of the oceans, that we can go fishing and catch fish for our own purposes. So you can see from this that David learns that this phrase over Urchos Yamim is David HaMelech praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving chachma to man. And the words over Urchos Yamim refer to man, that we have the chachma of travelling through the seas, shipbuilding, fishing, and that we've been given that chachma. However, and that's how the Masudas David learns. However, the Targum has a totally different pshat. When the Targum translates this phrase over Urchos Yamim, crossing through the pathways of the seas, says the Targum, v'livyosom. It's a reference to the giant fish, the Livyosom fish, the Cholif Isrote Yamo, that passes through the pathways of the seas. So, and that we, human beings, have been given kochos over the fish, and that over Urchos Yamim is reference to fish, and in particular the Livyosom. Well, it's strange, because that Gemara in Bava Basra, the well-known Gemara in Bava Basra, speaking about the Livyosom fish, the giant fish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created at Massa Bereishis, and you could see that they would procreate to such an extent, it was a huge fish, and they would take over the whole world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed off one of them. Remember which one? Male or female? I can't remember. Leaving the other one, either the female or the male, for the tzaddikim to enjoy the meat of it and the shade of it at the after the Asa Mashiach. Yeah. So killed off one of them.
Mate,
yeah.
Mate, the feminine.
Was it the feminine one he killed? I can't remember.
To stop the proliferation and therefore destruction of mankind.
So was it the female that he killed? Yeah. Oh, female. Ah, oh, scare. Oh, so and. Oh, so it's a bit strange how this Targum refers to the to the Leviathan fish, but certainly you can see there's a bit of a machlokes between the Targum and the Mesilas Dovid. The Mesilas Dovid learns it refers to human beings who can go fishing, and we've got kochos to go through the seas. But the Targum refers it to the fish themselves, to this Leviathan fish itself. Now, the Yalkut Shimoni speaks about this pasuk, the pasuk we had earlier in pasuk Hey, which we did on our last session. What is man that you remember him, and what is man that you pay any attention to him? Says the Yalkut Shimoni that this is one of the several references when the Malachim challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to give cover to man and not to create man. And the Malachim didn't, and the Tanu Masavishis, the Malachim didn't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create man, and they said to him, the Malachim said, "Mo emesh kisiz kareno venodom kisiv kedenu." This pasuk is also recited by the Malachim prior to Matan Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu don't give the Torah to mankind. But at Masavishis, they said, "Don't create man, mo emesh kisiz kareno, what is man? He's just a rotten being, what do you want man for?" So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed all the animals to the Malachim and said, "Please go ahead, provide here are all the animals which man can utilize for food, and now go ahead and name them. Go and see if you can think of good names for these animals." And the Malachim just couldn't do that. They were incapable of doing that. So all these pasukim here which have referred to animals, pasuk ches and pasuk tes, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu presenting the animals towards the Malachim and say, "Go ahead, think of good names for them." And of course they failed to do so, they couldn't do that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malachim, a moshel of a man who builds a beautiful tower. And he fills the tower with all tanukim, pleasures of Olam Hazeh, all beautiful food, wonderful food. And he says to the and then he doesn't share that food with anybody else. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "What hanah will this owner of the tower have? He's built himself a beautiful tower. He's got all this wonderful food. He's going to eat it all himself. He won't have any hanah from that. One only has hanah by sharing." So if he invites in Archim and he shares the food with other people, then he himself will have Hanof in the food. Otherwise, just to be selfish, have it all for himself, ultimately won't really give him any Hanof himself either. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Look, I've created this beautiful world with fabulous animals, and those animals are food for mankind. What Hanof will I have unless I'm prepared to share it with a human being? Therefore, I'm going to create man and let him enjoy those animals for food." It's a good one to say against all the vegetarians who say, you know, it's not right to eat meat of animals. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these animals for our purposes. So, and then of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, and it was Adam HaRishon who named all the animals. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought all the animals to Adam, and he named all the animals, and he chose apposite names for every single animal. Where the Malachim couldn't do it, and Adam HaRishon of course did. In fact, that medrash says, that Yalkut Shemini says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pointed a finger at these Malachim. All the Malachim who protested against the creation of man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pointed a finger at them and burnt those Malachim. So that was the end of those Malachim. Yeah. Okay, Pasuk Yud. Hashem Adonenu. Yeah, Hashem Adonenu, God our Master, Mo'ad Eshimcha b'chol ha'aretz, how wondrous, how glorified is your name b'chol ha'aretz, in all the earth, in all the land, in all the earth. Yeah, it's interesting. This word Adonenu, I can't remember if I mentioned it before in Pasuk Beis, where you have almost the identical Pasuk. This is quite important. Pasuk Beis is almost identical. Hashem Adonenu, Mo'ad Eshimcha b'chol ha'aretz. Ad Khan, that's the same Pasuk Yud, and then Pasuk Beis continues, that you place your glory over the heavens. Now, that word Adonenu is an interesting word. It's nearly always used in the plural form. Wherever you find the word like Adon, it's a plural form because you've got an extra yud there. The yud makes it plural. So the word Adonenu, if you translate it literally, it means our masters. Now, if you said the word is really Adon, master, if you want to say, for example, his master, it should be Adonu, with no vav. Sorry, with no yud. It should be Adonu, aleph dalet nun vav. Adonu, his master. Like you'd say, Suso, his horse. Yeah. If you want to say his masters, plural, it would be Adonov with the yud. And it's always with the yud, and it's always in a plural form. Why? I don't know. It's one of these words that almost is a natural plural. So this word literally means our masters, but of course it can't be a plural because it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Adonenu, God our master. It's one of these words that's always used in the plural, though I don't know why. Hashem Adonenu, Ma'ad Shimcha B'chalos, how glorified is your name B'chalos in all the earth. Now, could be, I suppose so. Yeah, maybe ultimate master. No, but no, because even when talking about an Eved, a human Eved and a human Adon, even then it's again in the plural. Adon, Adonov. Well, we have Ahavti Es Adoni. Yeah, you have that, my master, that's singular. So it's a strange word, I don't know why. It's worth missing, it's a kasha. So the Radak points out on this pasuk that after we've mentioned that man is really insignificant, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu affords mankind tremendous covet, now as a postscript to the whole chapter, David HaMelech signs off, Hashem Adonin Ma'ad Hashem Chavacholes, because you give man such covet, therefore I thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'ad Hashem Chavacholes, how glorified is your name. After, now we appreciate the man is really insignificant, and yet you give man covet, therefore I give you covet, Ma'ad Hashem Chavacholes. Now this pasuk is quoted in the Gemara in Shabbos, that Pechesam at base, nice and topical with Shavuos just a couple of weeks ago, where Moshe Ololam Orem, Moshe goes up on high to collect the Torah, and the Malachim protested, and they said, pasuk Moanosh Kisiz Gerenu, Ben Adam Kisiz Gedenu, don't give the Torah to man. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, give them a reply, and Moshe says, I'm petrified, they could burn me, Behevel Shebefiem, just the air from their mouths, they could burn me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right, hold on to my Kisiz HaKadosh, and then give them an answer, and he held on. And he turned to the Malachim and he said, the Torah is obviously not for you. After all, you were never in Mitzrayim. We human beings, we Klal Yisrael, we were in Mitzrayim. You don't have parents, and then Kibbutz of Aim doesn't apply to you, and you don't work, so therefore Shabbos can't apply to you, etc. Whole list of mitzvahs that Moshe Rabbeinu said. And of course, at the beginning, the Malachim said, Hashem Adonenu Ma'ad Hashem Chabacha. The Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Adonenu God our master, Pasuk base, Ma'ad Hashem Chabacha. How splendorous your name is. Asher Tana Hodcha Al Hashamoyim. Keep your glory Al Hashamoyim in the heaven. Don't give your glory down on earth to mankind. Keep it in the heavens. So, and hence the Malachim were protesting to Matan Torah being to the Torah being given to Klal Yisrael. Now the Asher Tana Hodcha Al Hashamayim, keep the glory, is a reference to Torah Shebiksav, which we could it's basically Tanakh. Yeah, it's keeping the Torah in Shamayim. Now what's the sefer now? I can't remember the sefer. The Ben Yehoyada, I think it is. Yes. The Ben Yehoyada points out that the Malachim were quite happy for the Tanakh to be given to man. It was Toshav Al Peh. They didn't want to give to man. It was Toshav Al Peh. Why? I'm not quite sure. I suppose the Chochmah is the greater Chochmah in Toshav Al Peh. That they wanted to keep for themselves. They didn't want that to go to man. But Tanakh itself, they were quite happy to give. And he points out that this word Shamayim, Asher Tana Hodcha Al Hashamayim, the word Shamayim, it's Shin Mem and Yud, and then another Mem. So it's two Mems, and Shin and Yud. So he says the letters which are close, which are next to Shin Mem and Yud, well, next to the shin in the aleph base, we have a tof. Next to the mem, we have a nun. And next to the yud, we have a chof. That's Tanakh. Yeah? Tanakh. In fact, the Ben Yehuda learns Pshat, the Malachim, they wanted to keep the glory Keep the glory on Hashemayim. But what they wanted to keep was Torah Shabbal Peh. They were quite happy for the Tanakh to come down on earth. It's a remnant in the word Hashemayim. Now, what you note here is that the last pasuk here, pasuk Yud, identical to pasuk Beis, but without the phrase Hashetana Hodchan Hashemayim, and this is now very easy to understand. And I wish I would have written down where I saw this. I can't remember where I saw this. Why is it so easy to understand? At the beginning of the chapter, the Malachim object to the Torah being given to man, and so they say, "Asher Tana Hod Chan Hashemayim, keep the Hod in the sky, in the heaven, keep the Torah here in Shemayim. Don't give it to human beings." The rest of the chapter is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or part of the rest of the chapter is HaKadosh Baruch Hu responding to the Malachim, and Moshe responding to the Malachim, where he says, "The Torah clearly doesn't apply to you." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responding to the Malachim as well, I guess. But at any rate, it's Moshe Rabbeinu response to the Malachim saying the Torah does not apply to you. And therefore, at the end of the chapter, the Malachim again say, Hashem Adonino Mardu Shimcha B'chol Ha'aretz, I glorify you as your name B'chol Ha'aretz in all the land. But that phrase, Hashem Adonino Mardu Shimcha B'chol Ha'aretz, they won't say. They're retracting that. Why? Because they no longer object to the Torah being given to man, because Moshe Rabbeinu defeated them with his arguments that the Torah clearly belongs to Klal Yisrael, the Torah clearly belongs to man, not to Malachim. So now that Moshe has defeated the Malachim in this vikuach, in this struggle as to who should have the Torah, so now the phrase Asher Tachut Chan Hashemayim is dafka not in the last pasuk, because now the Malachim retracted. And their retraction is in the form of stating the pasuk again, Hashem Adonino Mardu Shimcha B'chol Ha'aretz, and stopping there, and not saying Asher Tana Hodchan Hashemayim, which is their request to keep the Torah in heaven.
How do we know that Hashem intended to have the Shekhinah in this lowest of worlds? And that was the whole purpose of creation. How could the Malachim reject it?
I've no idea. If the Klausel would never have taken the Torah, then the purpose of creation would have been defeated. Yeah, like Yom Hashishi, the whole purpose of the Yom Hashishi is above Sivan, you know, that sixth day of Sivan when Klausel accepted the Torah. Without it, no point in having the world. Akashvach would have destroyed the world at that point. No idea. Yeah, I don't know.
And then the beginning is which is in the end, so they've got the creation, the highest, from the highest to the lowest, and when the person gets to go up the highest again, it's the Gilgal, it's over and out. Seems she had a malachic effect to that.
No idea, yeah.
It's
changed the course of history, out of our world, yeah, of course, yeah, the world of malachim, we haven't really got a clue. We don't even know what a malach is. Yeah. Okay. Now, again, coming back to the Yalkut Shimoni brings in the name of Rabbi Rachya, and with this we'll finish this medrash, that going back to Pasuk Hey, Mo Emesh Kisiv Kareinu Ben Adam Kisiv Kedenu, what is man that you remember him? Why take any notice of mankind? And there the Malachim, and that's one of the medrashim, is that Pasuk refers to when the Malachim didn't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create man. Don't create man. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you don't want me to create man, I'm going to create man, and we're going to have so many tzaddikim through history from this species of mankind. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed these various individual tzaddikim to the Malachim to say to them, well, how can you not want me to create man? So what they'll do is we'll go through the various pesukim in the chapter, and we'll see how different pesukim refer to different tzaddikim. So the first one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them was Mo Enosh, is learnt from the pasuk Mo Enosh Ki Siv Kareinu, is a reference to Avraham Avinu. How does that refer to Avraham Avinu? Because that word Ki Siv Kareinu refers to the pasuk Vayizker Elokim Es Avraham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered Avraham. That's in the parasha when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Malachim to save Lot in the Zechus of Avraham. Vayizker Elokim Es Avraham is Ki Siv Kareinu, has got the same root. Or Ven Odom Ki Siv Kedenu, which tzaddik does that pasuk point to? That points to Yitzchok. Why? Ki Siv Kedenu Vashem Pokad Esara Kashe Omar. Vatachasrei Hu Ma'at Melekim, pasuk Vav. Vatachim Amakim, you made us a little bit less than Malachim, is reference to Yaakov. Why Yaakov? Because Yaakov performed the genetic engineering. Well, this is Gemara.
Which
I got it from the Yalkut Shimoni. And also in the Medrash Shechetov. The Medrash Shechetov, this chapter. What, that all these psukim refer to tzaddikim?
No,
these from these psukim. Yeah? Oh. Okay, very good. Oh. So that Chasim Melekim is reference to Yaakov. But Yaakov, with the genetic engineering that he did in Parshas Vayetze, so with the sheep, you know how he cleverly fashioned the wood so that the sheep would see the wood and conceive with similarly similarly patterned animals, and that is Yaakov playing a part in creation of animals, and therefore that's given him gives him some sort of kochus similar to that of Malachim. V'chavad v'hadar ta'atri, who, which is pasuk vav. Yeah, v'chavad v'hadar, you crown man with glory and splendor, is a reference to Moshe. How? Because the pasuk at the end of Kisisa, the Moshe leyota ki karanar ponov, he had this light shining out of his face, and that's like the crowning glory of Moshe Rabbeinu. Tamshilehu b'maseh odecha, you make man rule over the works of your hands, is a reference to Yehoshua. Why? Because he was able to stopping the sun, control of the sun. Kol shata sachas raglov, you control everything underneath his feet, is reference to David. Why? Because there's a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it's chapter Kaf Beis pasuk Mem Gimel, where David says that, I hope I'm reading this correctly, he was successful in battle. Ve'eshchokim ka'afar oretz, I crushed my enemies ka'afar oretz, like the dust of the earth. And that's kol shata sachas ragav, things that you put underneath your feet, i.e. the dust of the earth, as reference to David. While I'm on that pasuk, I'll just quickly mention something which I forgot to say earlier, which is from the Ibn Ezra, where he says kol shata sachas raglov, placing everything underneath our feet, is reference to minerals. The minerals in the earth. That's called Shata Sacha Sodlav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has presented the minerals for our own benefit. And we can use those minerals. Yeah? Kol Shata Sacha Sodlav. Yeah. The next pasuk, Tzonev Alofim Kulom, is reference to Shlomo HaMelech, the sheep and the animals. Why? Because he was able to understand the languages spoken by the animals, he could communicate with them, and he could certainly understand what they were saying. And another reference to Shlomo is because the pasuk about Shlomo HaMelech, when he built that Beis HaMikdash, within the first couple of weeks of the Beis HaMikdash, how he sacrificed a huge number of karbonos, all brought there in Malachim Bav Perek Ches, I think it is, around there, that Vayizbach Shlomo es Zevach HaShlomim, he brought all these tremendous number of karbonos, and that's the Tzonev Alofim Kulam, all these animals he brought. The Gamba Hamos Sodoi, who's the tzaddik referred to by the Gamba Hamos Sodoi, the animals of the field, is referenced to Shimshon, because Shimshon took the foxes, and he tied the tails together, and he set them alight, and they ran amok amongst the Pelishtim, burning down the properties of the Plishtim. So that so Shimshon there had control over these animals, over these foxes. It's also a reference to Doniel. Why? He spent time with the lions. He was locked up with the lions, and again he was able to. In fact, the Medrash says he could sit on their necks. He sat on the necks of the lions. They did him, of course, no harm. That's a Gamba Mesodai. Tzipper Shomayim is the bird. Sorry. The birds of the heavens is a reference to Elio Anovi, because the Irvim, the ravens, when he was in hiding from Achav, and the ravens brought him food and meat, and they kept him alive, fed him for the time that he was in hiding. Degei Hayom is, of course, a reference, it's got to be Yonah. Anovi, it is Yonah Anovi. Vahi Yonah b'mei hadog, shlesh yom v'shlesh leilos. Yonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days, 3 nights, and that's the way he davened, of course, Takosh Baruch Hu, and that's Degei Hayom. Yamim refers to Klal Yisrael crossing through the Yamsuf, and Hashem says in the Zechus of all these Tzaddikim, I will create man.